Turn in our Bibles to the book of Thessalonians. Again, we'll be turning to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 18, a continuation of what we saw this morning. Our focus will be verses 16 through 18 specifically, but we'll begin in verse 12. Final instructions and benediction. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So far, the reading of God's word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this past weekend we were celebrating together Canadian Thanksgiving, and it may be very well one of the strangest Thanksgivings that we have experienced in our lifetime. I don't know about around here if it was this reality, but I know out our way, Brantford, Paris area, for many of us, when the new restrictions came into place, a lot of us decided that we wouldn't have an extended family get-together. So this Thanksgiving, we were with smaller groups, feeling the restrictions again, feeling some of the growing tension once again, some of the things that we were just, the freedoms that we were just getting used to, were once again taken away. And I think for a lot of us, brothers and sisters, we're growing a little tired of this new reality, aren't we? We don't know where all of this is going to end, and there are certainly some uncertain days ahead for us as a nation and as a world. Yet, brothers and sisters, as we gather together as a church this afternoon, we see in our passage that God calls us to be thankful. Our passage in 1 Thessalonians says that in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, brothers and sisters, this doesn't mean that we are just to paint a smile on our faces, that we're to pretend that everything's okay, that we deny the reality in which we're living and hope that things get better. Sometimes we hear from our young people the phrase, fake it till you make it. But that's not what our passage is talking about here. What it does mean is that no matter what the circumstances, whether in times of difficulty or in times of blessing, God calls us to a life of heartfelt gratitude. And if you remember a little the context of this book, the church in Thessalonica, they were going through some very deep waters. They were. The Apostle Paul had warned them about tough times coming for them. And at the time that Paul was writing this particular letter, there were those who were attacking the church. There were those who were coming after the leadership. There were those who were calling the Apostle Paul a fraud. They were undermining all of the teaching that Paul had done in this place. And if during the week you have time to go back to Acts 17 and read a little of the history. This is when Paul goes to Thessalonica for the first time and when this church is established. It's very interesting to read that he was there only 3 weeks. God moved men and women's hearts in that place in a powerful way. Many people came to know the Lord in only 3 weekends. Yet even then, Paul was pushed out of town. Paul was, because of the pushback against the gospel, Paul was forced to walk and leave that town very quickly. So the church in Thessalonica, they knew about suffering. They knew what it meant to suffer for the sake of Christ. It was part of their everyday life. To be willing to give up everything for their Lord and Savior. And in these final commands, and we're getting towards the end of the book here, and Paul is listing a number of things that he hoped to see in the church. And here we're going to take these three together: to always be joyful, to pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks. And Paul was, again, reminding the church, Jesus is about to come back. Jesus is coming again for the second time. You need to be ready, and this is the attitude that Christ wants to see in you. And really, this is something that always God desires to see in us: to be joyful, to pray, and to give thanks. Now, this might seem like a pretty tall order to us. Humanly speaking, maybe even impossible. Because when we're honest with ourselves, brothers and sisters, even when things are going really well in our life, we are often ungrateful to God. We tend to forget about God, don't we? But especially when times are tough, when our faith is stretched, when we are forced to walk by faith and not by sight, the sin of ingratitude finds very fertile ground. And this afternoon, as we consider these three verses together, we're going to see, what does Christian thankfulness look like? And how do prayer and joy, how are they an essential part of our thanks to God? So what does Christian thankfulness truly look like? Now, brothers and sisters, we know that thankfulness is not a character trait that is unique to Christians, is it? All of us had friends and family that were perhaps not Christians. They were getting together last weekend. They were celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving. Even those who deny God or deny that there is even a greater power, they have a certain level of gratitude, don't they? Maybe it's expressed this way, that they're thankful for the good fortune of having a job. They're thankful for their family and friends. They're thankful that they've had good luck in their life and that they've had good health up till this point. Oftentimes, it's not expressed to anyone in particular. It's just a feeling of well-being that they have. Sometimes maybe it's even a thankfulness to self. It's like, well, look at my life. Look at the things I've been able to accomplish. But there is a level of thanksgiving. There is a level of contentedness. But for many, when life gets difficult, we know that sense of well-being, oftentimes it's replaced with bitterness or despair. There's really no one else to go to when you've looked to yourself your whole life. If you've relied in your own resources and your own abilities, when those tough times come, who do you turn to? Romans 1 says of the unbeliever, even though they knew God, they're born with an innate knowledge of God. It says they did not honor him or give him thanks. Because they don't have a relationship with God, it's impossible for them to give thanks to God. But we know for the Christian, this term thankfulness means something very different, doesn't it? Children, when we give thanks to the Lord, when we worship here on Sundays, we're not talking to somebody that we don't know. This isn't an unknown entity. But we are talking to a God who has revealed himself to us. He's done that in all of creation. As you look around on a beautiful autumn afternoon, you see the beautiful colors. We were talking about that in the consistory room before the service this morning. The colors have been phenomenal this year. We see that, don't we? We see a great God, his hand in all of these things in creation. But we know also that God has reached down to us and he has revealed himself in his word. God is an all-knowing, all-seeing, sovereign, and eternal God, yes, but he has reached out to us and given us the message in the good news of the gospel. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift, it's from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is what we understand, right? We know that when we are blessed, this isn't an accident. This isn't just good fortune or good luck. This is a blessing from the Lord. It's from a good and gracious Father who takes care of his children. Verse 18 says, in all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to stop here and we need to focus on these last three words because these are very important, aren't they? Our thankfulness is grounded in that fundamental truth. That's the difference between us and the world. That because of Jesus Christ, because of his work on the cross, because he has redeemed us out of sin and death, out of darkness and despair, because he has paid the price for our sins and has given us a new life in him, that is why we rejoice and that's why we are thankful to him. Colossians 2 verse 6 says this, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. This has the idea, right, of that cup overflowing, where we've been given blessing after blessing, good thing after good thing. That's the attitude that God desires in us. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that thankfulness is impossible without a right relationship with God. If you're here this afternoon and you're struggling with a difficult life or a time of trial right now, and you've never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never known what it means to be called his child, well, you need to understand that's where it begins. It begins when you come to know Christ, when you come to see your need for a Savior. And again, it's only when we know that we belong to him, that our sins have been forgiven, that when we're in this kind of right relationship, that we can have this closeness with him. And in Colossians 2, when it speaks of being grounded and rooted in the Lord, brothers and sisters, it has the idea of a tree being planted. Just recently, I had a few trees that I planted in my backyard. And when you transplant trees, you need to know that root system is essential. It's not just the top half. It's obviously the bottom half that is the most important thing. You need to protect that root ball. You need to plant that very carefully, don't you? If you want that tree to grow and to thrive, you need to plant it in good soil so it begins to put the roots down. So those essential nutrients can begin to cause that tree to grow. And that's exactly what needs to happen in our life as well, doesn't it? And this is why the Apostle Paul here mentions the idea of unceasing prayer. Now, children, if I were to ask you this afternoon what it means to pray, you would be able to tell me that it's to communicate with God, to talk with God, to express feelings in your heart towards Him. Here, the Apostle Paul is speaking of a type of prayer that is constant and ongoing. And to pray unceasingly, brothers and sisters, it means that we are to be constantly connected to our Father. We need to pray in many different situations and in many different circumstances, don't we? In order for our relationship with the Lord to be strong, that constant communication is essential, we can say. And brothers and sisters, as Christians, we really need to develop this. This is something we need to think about and analyze in our life. Are we in this kind of relationship with the Lord? Do we have this kind of prayer life, truly? Because this isn't the only place in the Bible it speaks about this. It speaks about this in many places where we are to constantly be crying out to the Lord. This past week, I was speaking with Mark Van Esseldelf. He's a missionary in Uganda with the OPC team, a URC man, a diaconal missionary. He said he was taught a lesson in this himself when he was speaking with a lady, a single mom of 7 children. They had a Bible study, a prayer time together. This lady not only had 7 of her own kids, she had just recently adopted 5 other children. A lot of the time they were going hungry. Mark asked the group, he said, "Well, what are the prayer requests we have?" And this lady was the first one to put up her hand, and she said, "Can I give thanks to the Lord today for food? We haven't eaten well in a long time, but I want to give thanks to the Lord." And brothers and sisters, a lady like that is a great example to all of us, isn't it? She's a person who truly knows what it means to depend on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn in every circumstance, in everything that we do, whether we're buying a car or deciding where we need to go next, where God wants us to go in the future, everything in our life should be committed to the Lord in prayer. A lot of times we like to make those decisions on our own, don't we? A lot of times we, especially as Dutchmen, make a logical decision based on facts. But brothers and sisters, prayer needs to be essential. I remember when I first was an intern in Mexico with a Presbyterian couple, this is one of the things that I first noticed about them. One of the things that just jumped out at me, everything, every need, every phone call, every time they would just stop and pray about it. That's what unceasing prayer looks like. Many of you probably know the story of George Mueller. If you don't, I suggest you find a copy of his life. Amazing story a man who helped thousands, they say up to 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. But he was a man who believed in the power of prayer, that when we call out to God, he will respond. And there's so many amazing stories of specific prayer that were answered by the Lord directly. George Mueller said this: the Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. He had given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers. And brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded of the power of prayer. That without prayer, we are weak. Without prayer, we are cut off from God. And sometimes we get it wrong, don't we? Sometimes we tend to think, well, God knows all things. We believe in a sovereign, eternal God that is in all places at all times. He knows what I need. Why do I have to express that to him? But brothers and sisters, even though God knows exactly what we need, even more than we do, he wants to hear us call out to him. Why? Because when we pray to the Lord and we ask him and we plead with him, we're learning to rely on him, aren't we? Especially for the Thessalonian church, a church that was going through difficulty and persecution, this was so necessary. This is so necessary, isn't it? Trials and difficulties and struggles are going to come our way. This isn't the exception. This is the norm. This is something that the Christian needs to expect. And even though sometimes, especially right now, with all that's going on with COVID, we get a little tired of the inconvenience of it, brothers and sisters, really, it's something that's very good for us. Because we know that it's necessary for our faith to be tried. It needs to pass through the fire, doesn't it? When gold is refined, they put it through the fire. Why? Because it comes out more purified. The idea is, with our faith is much stronger when we've gone through difficult times. And you may ask the question, well, why is that? Why is it necessary for us to have to suffer? And the answer is because then we are forced to truly walk by faith. You see, in our own minds, we want to have our lives under control, don't we? We like to know where the next meal is coming from. We like to know the house that we're going to live in, and for a lot of us, how it's going to be paid off. We like to know that we're going to have healthy, strong bodies, and when we don't, we want to have good doctors that take care of us. Otherwise, we complain an awful lot. Brothers and sisters, we can say that we like to have our ducks in a row naturally. That's the human heart. But when the storms of life come and they begin to beat on your house, on whom is the foundation of your life built? Brothers and sisters, when your props in life get taken away, that is the day you will see where your trust is, where it truly is. Can you give thanks to the Lord then? Can you receive the plate of difficulty, the plate of suffering that God has served you? And still say thank you to him? Will you trust in the Lord in those times, knowing that he is working all things to your good? Remember, that's from the eternal vantage point that God has. Sometimes we're never going to understand fully what God is doing in our life, how he is working those things in our life for our good. Sometimes we want to have all those answers, but God never gives them to us, does he? I want to read with you a couple of verses, very interesting passage, Luke 21. There it's Jesus is foretelling of wars and persecutions, the signs of the times. It says this, listen carefully. It says, you will be delivered up by even parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you, they will even put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. What's being said here? Not a hair is going to fall from your head, yet you might lose your life? Brothers and sisters, what Jesus is here saying to the church is that God will use everything for your eternal good. This last phrase can be translated in patient suffering, you will possess your souls. So what God is saying to us, what Jesus is saying to the church, is that God might call you to give the ultimate sacrifice with your life. Your head might be on the line, but you will eternally be secure in the Lord. God might take everything from you, but not a hair, spiritual hair, will fall from your head. God is going to use even those very difficult things in your life to refine you, even to save your soul. One author put it this way, if you don't suffer trials and let it drive you to Christ, you will never be able to handle trouble. The ironic thing is that if God were able to keep you completely safe from every trouble, you would be a shallow, you would be a breakable, would be an entitled person. Anyone that I have ever met that has had a relatively charmed life, you can get into your 40s or 50s sometimes without having anything massively bad happen to you. Everyone that I know that has lived that way, that has had a charmed life, is very thin. As deep as the Jordan River, only ankle deep. And brothers and sisters, when we look back on the last 50 years in Canadian history, brothers and sisters, we can say these have been times of wonderful blessing. We have seen tremendous prosperity. We have seen good things, haven't we? But it seems like times are changing, and perhaps times will be different in the future. We don't know. But this is why this command by the Apostle Paul to the church to give thanks in all circumstance is so important. It doesn't matter what's coming, does it? The Lord has that in his hands. If he has difficult things and difficult circumstances to bring us through, we know that God has a purpose for them. It's to cause our faith to grow strong. You might have heard it said that faith is like a muscle. A muscle grows weak when you don't use it. Maybe you've had a cast before, kids, and you didn't use those arm muscles for a long time, and they take that cast off, and you compare your arms, and you realize one is way skinnier than the other. Why is that? All the muscles disappeared. Faith is like a muscle. When we don't use it, it gets weak. And in those times of trial and difficulty, we need to be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, you know what you're doing. I'm going to be thankful to you for those things that you are doing in my life, even for the things that are difficult and hard and I don't like, even for the things that I don't understand. I'm going to trust you to take care of the details and let you work. This is why it's so important to read history, church history, brothers and sisters. A lot of times we don't do that enough. We tend to judge our own days thinking that the church has always lived like we have, and the reality is that the church has not. Even today, in most other places in the world, the church is suffering. The church has extreme trials. Maybe some of you get the updates from Voice of the Martyrs. So many places in the world right now, there's so many needs. This last little while, I've been reading a book by Philip Yancey called What Good Is God? Speaking of people's response to difficulty in life and how oftentimes they say, well, if I'm suffering, you know, where is God in that? But there, Philip Yancey speaks of many different examples of men and women who have stood for the Lord and suffered terribly for their faith. And he speaks there of one man, Pastor Yuan. Over 22 years, he was in prison. Many of those years in solitary confinement. If you know anything about being imprisoned, you know how terrible that is. But Pastor Yuan lived to be in his 90s. And as Philip Yancey describes his life, this was a man who had a full confidence in the Lord. He was fully aware that the Lord had brought him through every trial, that the Lord had sent him to prison for a reason, and that was so that he could share his faith with others. But even in his 90s, he was rejoicing, he was joyful about the things that God had put him through. And this is what living a thankful life brings out, isn't it? A thankful life produces joy, a life that is constantly connected to God, where there's this ceaseless prayer that produces a real joy, doesn't it? That true lasting joy that we know only God can give. When we have this kind of communication with Him, when we have this kind of trust in Him. And it's not to say in that joy there won't be tears. It's not to say that in that joy there won't be worries or concerns in our life. There will be, brothers and sisters, we know that. It's not all smooth sailing. But God will bring you through those times. He will uphold us. He will strengthen us as a church. He will bring us through those times more mature. Maybe you've had opportunity to sit down with the saints of this congregation, mature saints, and have heard their life story. I don't think we tell enough stories in our churches. We need to hear people's testimonies, and I have been blessed so many times in my life by those who have walked the walk of faith for many years. Take the time. Sit down with your grandparents. Sit down with those who have lived a long time with the Lord. And they'll tell you there are ups and downs in those years. There are trials that you go through. But God is faithful in those times. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to have Peter Wright. We had the opportunity of hosting him in our home. And Peter Wright in our area in Southern Ontario in the Hamilton area is well known because he was the man who brought about Reach Forth Ministries. It's a huge organization with many evangelical churches. Pete Wright is now serving in the URC in a church in Edmonton, full-time in evangelism and missions. Some of you maybe got to know him at the missions conference if you were there. But I was just blown away to hear his story. He's blown away to hear how God had led him over the years. He's now 70 years old. You'd never know it. He rejoices. He and his wife rejoice together in what God has done for them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He's got a tank full of gas, an excitement about the Lord, a passion to speak with others about his faith. This is what Scripture says, Romans 12:12. It says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. So I want to ask you this afternoon, is this a description of you? Is this a description of your life? Are you truly thankful? Are you continually communicating with the Lord in prayer? Do you have this deep-rooted joy in your life? One author put it this way. He said, when I want to take my spiritual temperature, I'm looking for those things in my life. Is my heart full of joy? Am I eager in communing with the Lord, quieting and silently thanking him for all that he has done and is doing in my life, lifting up all the petitions that come across my mind to him? Is it an unending sweet communion with him, and am I incessantly, unendingly grateful? This is the heart of a believer. He says, don't evaluate your sanctification on the fact that you haven't committed robbery or haven't lied or haven't cheated or you haven't abused somebody. Don't evaluate your spiritual condition on that. Don't even evaluate your spiritual condition on the fact that you go to church, but evaluate your spiritual condition on these three things: whether you rejoice, whether you have an open line of communication with the Lord, and whether you give thanks in everything. Brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord desires to see in each one of us. And even though at times we struggle, and even though at times we wrestle very much through those times of trial, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that this is the desire that God has for his church. Because remember that the world right now, especially in those trials, that they're looking at us, even with COVID. And they're asking the question, are these folks any different than anyone else? Are they truly joyful? Are they truly thankful? Do they have a relationship with the Lord? And brothers and sisters, when we know what it means to walk with the Lord, even in those times of trial, how thankful we can be for this continual hope that we can have. That when we are in Christ, and when we have a relationship with him, and when we know that we can cry out to God the Father in those times, that we're not on our own. We don't have to walk by ourselves, do we? We don't have to try and do it on our own. No, we have a faithful Father there beside us. That our thankfulness isn't just about an attitude that we momentarily have, but that's an attitude of life. So we need to pray as a church that this truly would be the description of each one of us. And that in those areas where we lack, in those areas when we are unthankful, that the Lord would show us that. When we're at times walking away from prayer and communicating with the Lord, that the Lord would remind us of that. We need to pray that others would see this kind of relationship with him, this close, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. And I want to close with these words this afternoon. The words of the hymn, "Now thank we, O all our God." O may this bounteous God, verse 2 says, through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, to keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills of this world and the next. Let's pray together.